Today I want to talk about possessions in Christ, what you have in Christ. One of the things that we all have to come to grips with is that those in Adam think a certain way. And we were in Adam and we thought a certain way. And when we were in the world and when we were in Adam, we thought the way we was thinking was right and good and moral and just. We're no longer in Adam. Can I get a witness? We're in Christ. And yet, many of us refuse to put the old off and put the new on and be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We have to look at things God's way. We have to be renewed to the new things of the kingdom and separate, begin to get away from the Adamic thinking, the way the world thinks. When it comes to this world that we're still in but not of, materialism rules the day. And unfortunately, there is much materialism in the heart of God's people. There's too much materialism in our pulpits. There's too much of the Adamic thinking, the Adamic way, that somehow or another, if I can get more possessions and more things, I'll really be somebody. People will respect me. People will see my value. They will see my worth by the house I live in. They will respect me and they'll see my worth, my value, my significance by the car I drive. They'll value me. They'll see my significance by the clothes I wear. That's the world, saints. And that's the way the world thinks. And that's the way we thought when we were in the world. But we're no longer in the world or of the world. And we're in the kingdom. And we have to renew our minds to what's important in life now. And to the possessions and positions that we have in Christ, not the possessions and positions of this world. Man without God, man in Adam, really believes that if he could just make more money, get more things, he'll be happy. If he could just make more money and get more things, he'll be important. If he could just make more money, get more things, he will be respected. Now, it takes a lot of courage to face that thinking that's in many of us still to this day. And one of the greatest challenges that I have is to take 50 minutes, 45 minutes, and balance out how that God wills to bless you, how that God wills to get you things, how that God wills for you to have a house, a nice house. He wills for you to have an automobile that we don't have to call the record company every weekend to get it off the property. He wills for you to have clothes and nice things like that. But you cannot, dear ones, get caught up in the way the world thinks, and that be the focus of your life, and that be the thing that you think is going to make you feel good, that's going to make you happy, that's going to make you successful, that's going to make you important, that's going to cause you to have significance. God doesn't think that way, and we got to quit thinking that way. Amen? All right, let me share some things out of Colossians chapter 2, because this is where I ended, and I want to pick up where I left off. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." The way you got saved, that's the way you live the Christian life. How did I get saved? I got saved by grace through faith. I received of the grace of God by faith, and I need to walk that way and live that way. Verse 7 says, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." No matter what's taught from this pulpit, no matter what care group we go to, what Bible study we're a part of, the goal that we're all pursuing is to get rooted and grounded in Christ and the love of God for us. Amen? If I teach on prosperity, I better take it back to the cross and to Christ and you still being rooted and built up in Him, not rooted and built up in financial gain. Amen? If I preach on healing and God heals, I still need to take it to the healer, Jesus Christ. And let's get rooted and grounded in Him, because sometimes we struggle with sickness. And so we can't get upset at God. We can't get dismayed or discouraged if we're struggling receiving our healing. We better stay focused on the healer Himself and get rooted and grounded in Him, even when things don't look like they're working in our health and other areas. The whole goal is to get rooted and grounded in Him, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We need to get happy in Jesus, not in the homes we live in. We need to get happy in Jesus. Thank you. Do you mean it? Do you really mean it? If you really mean it, you're going to prosper. And you're going to have a life of significance. And, and great impact. Because, again, while God wants us to all have a home, to have a place to live, a roof over our head, our homes don't define us. He goes on to say in verse 8, and you need to mark it, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ." See, there is a philosophy that is in the world that we were a part of when God called us out of it. And that philosophy will spoil you. There is vain deceit all around us. We have to deal with, one of the things I struggle with the most is dealing with all the lying going on all around me all the time. A big personal struggle I have is a lot of the people that get upset at me, it's for being honest. It's for telling them the truth. Don't ask me if this dress makes you look fat if you don't want the answer. And out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to dance all around it and say, "No, you're not fat. Perhaps that dress makes you look fat, so get rid of the dress." I'm really not talking about an experience in Sue here. I'm trying to make a point that we lie all the time. We want lied to all the time. And even at church, people literally want the preacher to lie to them to affirm the way they've been thinking and the way the world thinks. And it'll spoil you. It'll spoil you. It'll ruin you, saints. You've got to change your minds. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. You've got to think like God thinks to get God results in your life. And God thinks different than the world thinks. And when it comes to materialism, there's vain deceit all around us. People are constantly trying to impress us with things. The world is constantly trying to indoctrinate us with, "You won't be happy till you have this, 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 and this." And we're killing ourselves. We're working 3 and 4 jobs. Our spouses are working 3 and 4 jobs. We're hiring our kids out to get more things, to get better things, so that we can be happy or we can have some self-worth. Our possessions do not define us. The acquisition of things do not bring value to us. Possessions and positions do not make you who you are. You make the possessions and the things what they are. The world says, dress for success. In other words, I can't be successful unless I dress a certain way, unless I look a certain way. They really believe that the tie defines the man. And I don't care if you think I'm arrogant anymore. I don't care if you don't know how to listen clear. I'm telling you, the tie doesn't make me. I make the tie. Yeah. I bring value to the tie, not the tie me. There's going to come a day that I'm going to pass from this life, and they're going to sell my ties at auctions for over $1,000 a piece because I owned it them. This tie in and of itself is nothing but Pastor Dwayne under the anointing wore this tie. Things don't make me who I am. They don't bring value to me. I bring value to the things because of who I am in Christ and what I have in Christ and what I'm doing in Christ. And you can twist that if you want to. I'm just begging you not to. Listen to what I'm saying to you. You have significance whether you live in a home or a tent. You have significance whether you're a doctor or a ditch digger. You have significance whether you're a teacher in the school or a student sitting in the chair. Our significance is tied directly to the cross and who I am in Christ. And my possessions that make me valuable are not of this world. They're in Christ. Man, I hope you believe it. I hope you're willing to get convicted and look at your life and ask yourself the question, am I pursuing the things of this world to be happy? Or am I pursuing God who can only make me happy? Am I focused on the right things? And am I changing my philosophy? Because everybody has a philosophy. Never say philosophy in general is bad. Philosophy is just a way of thinking. Everyone has a way of thinking. The world has a way of thinking, and those in Adam think a certain way. They have a philosophy about abortion. God has a philosophy about abortion. They have a philosophy about your sexual orientation. God has a philosophy about your sexual orientation. They have a philosophy of how to get rich and be happy. God has a philosophy on how to get rich and be happy getting rich. God has a philosophy about what's important in life, and the world has a philosophy about what's important in life. The world has a philosophy about how to be happy, and why do we keep buying into it? Why do we keep getting spoiled? Spoiled through what they say and us biting. The word spoiled, I love this. The word spoiled means go from good to bad. When something is spoiled, it was once good, and it went from good to bad. God has made you good in Jesus. God has set you free from the elementary rudiments of this world. The elementary rudiments of this world are the demonic powers that lock people into a way of thinking and living. Before you got saved, you were under demonic influence. Spiritual influences. And Christ broke the power of the demonic world off of your life where you could think straight. Where you could hear straight. And He made you good. And He put you in a good place, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And what will happen if you don't get your minds renewed now, if you don't learn after Christ, you can be spoiled through these philosophies. Verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you, take you from good to bad, through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, not after Christ, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Did you know you're complete in Jesus right now? You're perfected in Jesus right now. You're complete in the Lord right now. That's so powerful. Traditions of men. He's not talking about just tradition in the church, even though that'll make the Word of God of none effect too. A lot of things that are a part of our religious lives are not rooted in God and in truth. It's just the traditions of men. But it's not limited to just the traditions of men in the church. What about the traditions of men in the world? They have certain traditions that are holy cows to them. And you and I were a part of that. And they're under demonic influence in their thinking and in their actions. God breaks the power of all that, puts us in Christ, then we allow it to spoil us. The things that people get upset about amaze me, that claim to be Christians. We need stuff eradicated from our inner man, our heart, our thinking that doesn't line up with God. And if you're a Christian, you should want to think like God thinks. You should want to be renewed in all the wonderful things that Jesus has done for you. Yet, it's as if we've lost our minds. And we want to be saved, we want to go to heaven, but we want to keep thinking like the world and acting like the world. And it doesn't work that way. They cancel one another out. Everyone knows spoiled when you go into the refrigerator. You open the refrigerator up and you know something ain't right. It's in the air. You don't know what it is, but something ain't right. Now, you don't just close the refrigerator and say, I hope it works out. You know in your heart of hearts, it ain't going to work out. Something has spoiled, and it has to be dealt with. So you open the refrigerator back up after you had that ignorant flash and tried to ignore it, and then you start grabbing stuff. And you grab this, and you go, no, that's all right. That's still good. Smells right. It's good. You put it back. You grab this. No, that's all right. I wasn't sure, but I've reexamined. I've reevaluated if this has been spoiled. And nope, it's good. And then all of a sudden you grab this, and you, here's the culprit. Here's the bad dude right here. This right here is spoiled. Now, you don't just look at it and say, you know, that's going to hurt everybody's feelings if I deal with that in the refrigerator. So let's just put it back in there and tell it it's okay. It's no big deal. Everything's going to be fine. No, you're smarter than that. Can I get a witness? I need a better witness. You're smarter than that. You know that has to be thrown away. It has to be discarded because it's spoiled. And if I put it back in there, it's going to affect everything else that's good. Jesus said it this way, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. For a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. He's talking about the way they lived, the way they acted, the way they thought. Religious. Not real righteousness, but religious. And it'll ruin you, says Jesus, and you got to eradicate it. One of the things I'm going through, that is, it's hard on me, and I feel bad for y'all. I really am trying to stay calm and nice and polite to everybody, but I'm not happy with things in me at this point in my life. I'm not happy with things in the church world. And the more I see God promote me and bless me, the more unhappy I get with the things that are going on that's spoiling us. Yeah. It's ruining us. The things that go on in these ministries that you people worship, I detest it. I don't want it in my heart. I don't want it in our church. And yet people just act like it ain't no big deal to treat one another wrong, to break their word constantly, to not come through with contracts, and on it goes. I'm not talking about making a mistake here, and I better shut up. I'm about to get in trouble. I'm just simply saying that, man, there's a place where we got to be the same way behind the scenes as in front of the scenes, or it'll spoil us. I'm coming off of TV for a whole year because I got a problem with both sides of the lenses. And this stuff's spoiling us. It's ruining us. We need to be honest. Can I get a witness? We need to be real. That's another thing. The next time you get it mad at me for being honest, I could be a lying preacher and I'm sorry. Even when you get mad at me, at least stop for a minute and go, you know, at least he was honest. He's a jerk. But he didn't pretend to be cool when he's a jerk. Have you ever tried to be cool when you're a jerk? It's not a pretty thing. Just might as well be a jerk. Pray for me. I'll get better. That kind of thing. I'm saying there are things in the church world at large. It's spoiling us. It's defiling us. It's ruining us. And you can't keep putting it back in the refrigerator. There's a point where we got to be honest and look at this and evaluate it. Does God think like that? Does God act like that? Is that his character? Is that his nature? No. Then we need to put it in the trash, and it doesn't matter how many feelings it hurts. That's the only thing that's going to turn the ship around and make an impact in this generation. We can't be like the world. We can't think like the world. We can't act like the world. And it's spoiling us. It's spoiling us. We need to understand that the kingdom of heaven is to be sought first. And if we'll do that, God will bless us. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It's like we've come out of so much bondage. We've come out of so much death. I fear for many of God's people because they've lost focus. They've lost what's important. They've lost sight of priorities. And the acquisition of fame, the acquisition of possessions, the acquisition of fortune, the acquisition of honor, all those things that God wills to give us, he commands us not to pursue it, not to get caught up in it. Things are important, and God wants you to have things, but he doesn't ever want things to have you. Even in the book of Revelation, when we receive all of our crowns, those are possessions. Those are rewards. Can I get a witness? We're going to get rewards. We're going to get a crown of righteousness for enduring, for overcoming. What are we going to do with the crowns once we get the crowns? Once we get those possessions on the other side of this life, what is the picture in heaven that happens when the 24 elders got their crowns? I got my rewards. I got all my possessions, even in heaven, that were kept for me for living righteous, for doing the right thing, for saying the right thing lovingly. What are we going to do with those crowns? When are we going to get the message? We're going to give them to Jesus. We're going to lay them at his feet. Why, they won't mean anything. By the time we get there, we'll know it was by the grace of God anyway. Without God, I'd have been in hell. We have to understand that God wills for us to have things, but things to never have us. And that's a hard message to preach. It's hard to get over in a materialistic world. In an Adamic thinking dominated world, people really believe it's all about getting more money and more things and going to bed and getting back up and going and getting more money so we can get more things so we can wear ourselves out and finally go to sleep because we're in torment anyway. So get another job so at least we can go to sleep at night because we're just flat worn out so we can get up in the morning and get more money to get more things so we can feel better about ourselves. And the sad thing is, if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, what has he gained? Nothing. Nothing. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus sets the parameters, the borders, to keep from being spoiled, to keep from going good to bad, to keep from becoming rotten inside. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you eat, what you're going to drink, yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" The answer is yes. "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubic unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Now underline this. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Now, I'll keep reading here in a minute. Please remind me to come back and finish reading. But I want to ring home, precious ones. I want you to understand by God's word that the Gentiles, which we were before Christ, the world, which we were in and of before Christ, their entire life rotates around eating, drinking, clothes, or material gain. The acquisition of things. I have to get things to be somebody. I have to get things to earn respect. I have to have this kind of house. I have to have these kind of clothes. I have to have this kind of car. That's how we were before Christ. That's how they are without Christ. And Jesus isn't saying, don't make plans for the future. Don't plan for your retirement. Don't plan for a better day tomorrow, things of that nature. He's saying don't worry about it. And don't put all your heart in the things of this world or you're constantly going to be let down. I love what my dad said years ago about the Depression. He went through the Depression. And during the Depression, people were jumping out of 10-story buildings, killing themselves. And my dad said, "I don't know what their problem was. We didn't even know there was a depression. They were so poor, they didn't even know there was a depression. So they weren't depressed. The only people depressed committing suicide were the people that lost their stuff. And while God wants you to have stuff, he doesn't want you envying everybody else's stuff or feeling second rate or second class because you don't have somebody else's stuff. Or now living your whole life like the Gentiles. What's life about? Is it just about the cycle of what I call the living dead? Is life just the cycle of the living dead? Get up, go to work, work hard, make a lot of money, buy a lot of stuff, and can't afford it. So go to bed a little earlier to get some rest so we can work two jobs now and get more money so we can get more stuff. That's the world. God says, don't be that way. Don't make the acquisition of things the focus of your life. You have to have food, and God's going to make sure you get it. You have to have drink, and God will make sure you get it. And you have to have clothes, and God will make sure you get it. He could have made a long list. If he was to cover everything, we'd have had 6 or 7 books 10 times bigger than this one, just with what God really wants you to have. But you better not focus on it. And let it become the God of your heart. Now watch this. Verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough problems in tomorrow. Take care of itself. Live life today. Stay focused on today. Enjoy today. Quit living for a better tomorrow. Some of you, one of the reasons you're not happy is you think things are going to get better tomorrow. So you don't enjoy today. And then when tomorrow comes, you're really miserable because it didn't get any better. So you better get happy today. You better get content today. You better enjoy life today. Life is too short, dear ones, to burn yourself up and burn yourself out Trying to make more money to get more things, thinking all that's going to make you feel significant or happy. You're going to have to rest in Christ. You're going to have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not the world's righteousness. God's righteousness. And all these things will just be added to you. I love that. It's just added to you. In other words, it doesn't make you, and you don't have to have it. It's added to you. I think right now in my life, God is just purposely blessing me to embarrassment as a test. And I'm passing the test. Because all the things I used to think I really wanted and I really would just be excited about, they don't mean anything. But see, I won't know that unless I really have them, I guess. I can preach it, I can teach it, I can say it, but I'm more convicted than ever before that the things that were prophesied over me 25 years ago, that for 6 months I really thought, how could that be? And if that ever happened, wow, I would feel important. Now it's all happening and more, and it doesn't mean a thing. I don't even want it. I lusted after it for 6 months. 25 years ago, I won't tell you what was said over me. It's embarrassing, but I mean, it was just overwhelming what was spoke over me and it would happen in my life. And I didn't believe it. I didn't think that's possible. That can't happen. Then I started to entertain it. What if? What if I got that kind of favor? What if God used me at that kind of measure? Boy, I would think this and I would think that and I would think, and none of it is true. None of what I thought is true. I thank God that whatever He's done in my life, in pruning, in preparing, in priorities, that I don't care what happens to me and what God does in my life. I'm telling you right now, God is number one in your life, and you better keep Him number one. Your spouse is second and is important, and don't neglect your spouse, and then your children, and then your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, and your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And then one another. And I pray He just bless me in a way where I can say it with more conviction and convince people. It doesn't matter what you own. It doesn't matter who you know. It doesn't matter who knows you. It doesn't matter how many people come to your church. It doesn't matter how many people listen to you. None of that matters. What matters is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, and your neighbor now as yourself. And that's pursuing the kingdom. And let's be honest, how many people are too tired or working too hard to even come to church? I'm not condemning you for not coming to church. I'm trying to be authentic. I'm trying to be transparent. If you're going to quit our church, now is a good time, because I'm preparing a series. I can't take it no more. I'm going to do a series here pretty soon. Will the real Jesus please stand up and speak up and show up? Because the Jesus in America today is not the Jesus of the Bible. And the Jesus we've heard about at church, we don't know. Because when He shows up, He scares us. I'm just frustrated divinely with people thinking that Jesus is this meek, pansy waist, everything's okay, darling, person. That He's always sweet and nice and just kind. He's never firm. He's never straightforward. He just dances around everything, and He's so polite, and He's so nice, and He's so tolerant. We have not read the Bible. The Jesus in the book of Revelation took them to the woodshed. The Jesus that walked the face of the earth in some people's mind that go to church every day was mean. He said some things that put holy fear on the inside of me to this day. What are y'all going to do if Jesus shows up and looks at you and calls you a snake, a viper, tombstones, whitewashed, full of dead men's bones? What are we going to do if He shows up with a whip? And says, this stuff's got to stop in my house. I hear people talk about me and I'm thinking, that's not me they're talking about. Amen. I see some of you wanting to be like somebody else, that if you became like them, you'd hate yourself because you don't like them either. Why would I want to be like somebody else? I don't like the way those people are. And yet you be yourself, And it just scares people. You be honest, it just scares people. You be real, it scares people. We are spoiled. And we're enjoying being spoiled. We've enjoyed spoiled and we've been around spoiled so long, we don't recognize this stinks. And then we get really afraid because we've seen some people start straining at gnats while they're swallowing camels. I don't want to embarrass her. If I mess up, Mary, I'll repent publicly. I mean this to honor you. If I mess up, I'm saying right now, I'll repent publicly. I remember when Mary Hanks came to me, condemned about her tattoos on her arms. And she was asking me to pray and wondered, should we try to figure out a way to get these tattoos off? Would you like me to cover them up, Pastor? I blew her away. I said, absolutely not. I want everybody that walks through those doors to see those tattoos. Not because I'm condoning tattooing your body up. I don't think you should tattoo your body up. But I tell you what, I'm not going to die on that mountain. And I'm telling you, Mary Hanks loves God with all her heart. And she might not have a house like you have, drive a car like you drive, have a job like you have, but she has significance. And no one should judge her after the flesh. Thank God we got people that can come in overalls. We got people that can come in three-piece suits. We can have bankers and bikers in the same building. And not judge one another after the flesh. Not know one another after the flesh. That's part of not judging and knowing one another after the flesh. Well, they can't be important and significant. Look at the clothes they wear. I like wearing a suit. I have two major reasons for it. I grew up so poor. I feel good in a suit. I just feel good. Forgive me for it. I'm carnal. I like, and I got three reasons. Number two, I look good. I look better in a suit. Number three, I disarm religion so quick and so fast, and I get so much persecution, I at least wanted to trick them for 5 minutes that I'm not as radical as you think I am. At least I'm still wearing a suit and a tie. But I'm dealing with, dear God, I guess I'm going to have to just strip my tie off and change my clothes a little bit just to see if we can all handle it. Just see if I can handle it. Because I can tell you one thing, I'm still who I am with or without a suit. I'll say what I'm going to say with or without a suit. I'm going to be who I am in Christ with or without the suit. I've given you the big picture of why you cannot pursue material gain and please God. The scriptures 19 through 24 deal with the treasures of our heart and where our heart is. You have to be courageous, dear ones, and judge your heart. Am I more caught up in material gain and possessions of this world than I am the kingdom of God and seeking God? You have to deal with that. You have to ask yourself that. That's not my job. That's your walk with God. That's between you and God. And you got to be honest with yourself. If I'm too busy for church, I'm too busy. If I'm too busy to help somebody out in life, I'm too busy. If I'm too busy for my family, I'm too busy. And we all have to come back to this and come back to this. He says a profound statement in verse 24 of Matthew 6. No man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now that's heavy. He didn't say we couldn't serve God and have mammon, money, material things. Amen? You can serve God and have things, but you can't serve God and serve the things. Now watch this. Everybody say, I love. Brother Dwayne, I mean this for your good, not your harm. Jesus said if you serve two masters, eventually you'll love one and hate the other. You'll hold on to one and despise the other. Now watch this. This is important. If you and I slip and get spoiled and start thinking like the world thinks and start pursuing material gain, materialism, the god of this world, eventually you're going to hate God and despise God. You're going to get deceived and turn on God. You're going to think it's God's fault that you're not prospering. Because if you pursue the things of this world, you will not prosper. You will not be happy. You will not be successful. You will be frustrated eventually. You will begin to question why God isn't blessing me and why I don't have my stuff and why. And eventually, you will literally turn on God if you serve the God of this world, money. And people hadn't thought about it like that. And I guess, you know, I'm a pastor. I have to think like this in the sense of, I sit around and wonder, why do people get on fire for God, love God? They're in there batting, they're good people. And then you start seeing them drift. And then all of a sudden, they're just not here anymore. Maybe you never thought about it. Much of it is from a lack of focus. Much of it is they were focused in God. God was everything. I just love God. And man, they were joyful. They were happy. Yeah, they were struggling. Yeah, they had problems. Yeah, times were still hard. But they had that joy. They had that fire. They had that peace that passes all understanding. Then, even in the prosperity message that's important, people get their eyes off of God and get their eyes on money. They get their eyes off of God and their priorities and get it on, I got to get more stuff. And before you know it, it's a subtle thing. They drift. But then they begin to hate and despise the things of God. And I've seen it over and over and over. One of the things that would be the worst thing that could happen to most of you is wake up today and have $1 million. We wouldn't see the light of you for 2 months. Amen. I still am sane enough to say, I believe God wills to prosper you. But I just don't know about all the stuff we've been taught. And I don't know about the lack of focus. And I don't know if everybody's going to be a millionaire. And I don't know if everybody's going to have a $500,000 home. And I don't know if everybody's going to drive 2 or 3 Cadillacs. I don't know about all that stuff. I suspect many people are deceived. I suspect that some of you are going to live your whole life and God might call you to the backside of Africa and you're right in the middle of his wheel, living in a tent, getting ate up by mosquitoes, with me saying, thank you, Jesus, I'm still here. I suspect some of you are going to go through some downtimes throughout your life financially and you're going to be broke. And I pray you're not spiritually bankrupt and blame God or give up on God. I suspect some of you that are millionaires are going to be in bankruptcy one day. And I pray your heart's not in your treasures, but that I was bold enough to rein your heart in, to challenge you to stay focused on God. And whether you're a millionaire or a pauper, God is my God and I'm going to serve him in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to close with these scriptures because you are blessed already. You possess so many things already in Christ. If you would get focused on what you have in Jesus instead of what you wish you had in this world, you'd be shocked about how happy you get, and then you start getting the things of the world. God just adds them to you. But when he adds them again, they don't mean anything. That's why you give most of them away. Number one, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you know the minute you got saved, you got divine possessions instantly given to you. You were blessed with all. Everybody say all. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Whether you got a dime in this world, you have all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. God hadn't cheated you is what I'm saying. A lot of times, the Bible says to envy not the prosperity of the wicked. Now, why'd God tell us not to envy the prosperity of the wicked? Because sometimes it looks like they got their stuff and we don't have no stuff. That's why God said it. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, everybody say freely, freely give us how much things? All things. God's not holding back on any of us. He's freely given us all things. We're going to inherit the whole planet. Amen. Well, I just don't have as much land as my neighbor has. Stay faithful. You'll have the whole planet one day. Yeah. The meek will inherit what? Now, I think God's cruel. Why'd he put all the oil in the Middle East? It's like the bad guys have all the oil. Uh-oh, that didn't fly. I'm going to think that one out. That oil is ours. It belongs to the people of God. The cattle on a thousand hill belong to the Lord, and you think he's covetous? It's ours. God's a better father than me and everything I have. I just don't even think about it very long because I know the kids are going to take it. They're all in line waiting for me to drop right now to sell my tithes for $1,000 a piece. Come on, let it go. Life's too short not to laugh. Last one, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord, or Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that's natural life and spiritual life, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. See, we've been called unto glory and virtue. Are you with me? We've been called to glory and virtue. We can't let the world spoil us. We're telling us what's important. We can't let Hollywood spoil us. If being famous is what it's all about and you're going to be happy, why can't those people stay married? Why are those people taking drugs? Think. Quit trying to feel something all the time and think for a minute. If the world's right, how come the world ain't happy? Because they're wrong. That's why. And the young people need to listen up now. Look at these stupid old people around us that don't get it. I didn't say it was your parents. God's called us to glory and virtue. God's called us to be children of God. God's called us to be the righteousness of God. He's called us to be a new creation. He's called us in Christ. He's given us a position and made us somebody. Then who cares if the world thinks you have to be on the big screen to be somebody? You have to have hundreds and millions of dollars to be somebody. You have to be the president, CEO of a company to be somebody. You have to have your own life even, that Jesus said you better lose if you want to find it. I'm just about convinced the world's crazy. And we are choosing to be crazy if we keep thinking like they think. We need to know, I've already got everything. Why in the world would I spin my wheels trying to get stuff when I got all the stuff in Jesus? I've got God's clothes, his armor. I've got God's spirit. I've got God's kingdom. I've got his name. I have his son. I have a new destiny. I have a new condition. I have a new family. I've got a functional family. I don't care what God does in my life. We're going to be a functional family at Victory Life. You are a functional family. Now, we've all got uncles in this body that we wish would stay in the basement. Not all of you got it together yet, but we are a functional family. And a functional family love God and love people. And functional families know that things are not what it's all about. Relationships are. Relationship with God. Relationship with our spouses. Relationship with our kids. Relationship with our friends. Amen. Man, you possess so much. Don't buy into the philosophy of the world. Settle in on Jesus, on who you are. Settle in on Jesus, on what you already have. Quit feeling cheated. Quit feeling like God cheated you and God is holding you back. God's already given you heaven itself. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that helps you stay focused. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.